Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap Today country. I'm Gary Dahl, along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, and we are delighted to be with you today, no matter where you are, no matter what you are doing. And we thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your wonderful company. And your company is wonderful, because if you were not there, we'd just be talking to ourselves, and that probably would not be too effective. But we are delighted to have you with us. Sam, did you have a good weekend, sir?
I did indeed. It was a great weekend, and I try to get away from things over the weekend. I worked outside in my yard, and that was very good. It was a nice change. And we got some rain here in Pennsylvania. It's been very dry. I don't know about you gentlemen, but we needed it, so we're thankful.
Oh, yes, we did get it. What was the highlight of your weekend?
Highlight. Well, the whole thing was a highlight, but my wife and I worked outside together, and she does a great job in the yard with flowers and rearranging it. That was a highlight of the weekend for us.
Mm-hmm. David, did you have a good weekend, too?
Gary, I had a tremendous weekend, and I will have to say this. My wife and I worked out in our yard as well. We followed Sam's lead. We planted flowers. And Sam, I did not know this about Ruth Ann, but my wife, Betsy, is evidently a kindred spirit because she loves flowers. And so we have a veritable Garden of Eden on our property in the summertime, which necessitates a lot of watering because we have not had any rain. So send some of that rain our direction to water the flowers we planted over the weekend.
You have a Garden of Eden, Dave?
Garden of Eden, yeah.
How do you dress?
Well, yeah, Gary. Well, no, we don't dress the way Adam and Eve did in their Garden of Eden. No, we dress.
I'm just trying to be biblical.
Well, I know you are. I know you are. You're trying to get me in trouble is what you're trying to do. But anyway.
I'm sure that I wasn't the only one with that question on my mind, though.
Well, probably not. Probably a poor analogy on my part.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm glad you had a good weekend in your Garden of Eden.
We did. We did. Really, seriously. My wife has a lot of flowers around the property, and so it does require a lot of watering. So we're trying to put in a system this year that will not require that we have to carry water to all these different plants and water them or transport a water hose. So anyway, it's all good, though. It was a great weekend.
That's good. Well, we had a great weekend, too. We were very, very busy on Saturday. Of course, our dear friend Lloyd Peck, I know many people don't know him, but he's a real go-getter here in our church. He headed up the Armed Forces Day celebration over at the VA Medical Center here in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And, of course, he had Jim O'Brien as the keynote speaker, and it was great. I had the opportunity also of speaking at a graduation ceremony where a fellow received his doctorate. And then, of course, we had a special program here at our church on Saturday night. It was an outdoor music concert that was moved inside because of the threat of rain. And, of course, the purpose of it is to be an outreach to the community. So, along with you guys, we had a very, very great weekend. Sam, tomorrow is the primary election here in Pennsylvania. And I think that we all, that is you, David, and I, are praying and encouraging people to get out and vote. This is a very important election, is it not?
Gary, it's every election is important. Primary elections often go unnoticed because it doesn't have quite the pull of a general election in the fall. But frankly, it is the election where the smallest number of people can have perhaps the largest impact. And what I mean by that is that the turnout in the primaries tend to be low. But the primaries are when your initial culling of the candidates occurs. And a small number of folks can make a huge difference in local elections. In Pennsylvania, I mean, for here, anyways, it's judicial elections. It's county judges. We have candidates up for our Supreme Court and appellate court positions, and they are very, very, very important, and they're going to be thinned down tomorrow. So folks who are listening, if you're not thinking that, if you don't remember that it's election day, remember it is election day. And then number two, go and vote. And if you say, well, I don't know who to vote for, there are generally places locally that you can connect with, that can have some indication, you know, of who to elect. But it's hard to right now to cover that kind of answer here. But do check it out because generally they are available.
And most newspapers across the state, I think, in other places, other states as well, will run, you know, informational pieces on where the candidates stand, who they are, what they believe, and so forth and so on. And so, you know, just with a little bit of effort, folks, you can find out what your candidates believe. But, Sam, you mentioned the idea of judges, and that really makes this a very, very important election as we are going to be voting on certain judges that will be on the court. And, you know, earlier today I was reading out of 2 Chronicles 19 about Jehoshaphat, who David did a tremendous job in leading the children, the nation of Judah back in his day. And I was interested in knowing that, or noticing, that he set judges in the land throughout all the cities of Judah. And then he said this in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 19. He said to the judges, "Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." And Dave, you know, in that Brother Sam mentioned that tomorrow here in Pennsylvania, we are going to be voting on the judiciary. That's a very, very good challenge given to any judge today, is it not? Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord.
Well, Gary, it is. And, you know, there was a time in this country whenever those that were elected or appointed, depending on the the position of the judge, they understood that. They understood that there was a requirement upon them not to be in any way influenced by man or by money or by any other thing that would be a perverter of their ability to judge judiciously and accurately and in the fear of God. Tragically, gentlemen, we have moved a long ways away from that. And so we have judges ruling in ways that are not appropriate, not fitting, and in no way pleasing to the God of heaven.
You know, that's right. And Sam, I'm just wondering how this really does apply to government, whether it's the judge or the president or the county commissioner. You know, they're not there for man, but for God. How does that apply to government leaders in general?
Well, Gary, it applies in a very, very clear way. Again, we talk about a lot. We live under a constitutional republic where we have the best opportunity to impact the government that we have. Our founders understood very well that the power of a government represented in the three branches, legislative making of the law, judicial interpreting of the law, and executive enforcing of the law, that that's all works together. But they all have this common goal: praise those who do well, punish those who do evil, to enact justice. That must be done according to God's standard, or there is injustice, and the judges have that very, very key role.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are of voting age and qualified to vote, get out and vote biblically. Vote biblically. Well, stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about some other pertinent information. Have you all heard that Al Sharpton's daughter has filed suit against New York City? Imagine that. We'll talk about it when we get back. For more Stand in the Gap today.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
On Memorial Day, we honor those who've given their lives in battle so we can live in freedom. But when it comes to memorials, God says there's more to it than just remembering. In Joshua chapter 4, God instituted the concept of memorials and the deeper reason for them. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Upon rolling back the waters of the Jordan River, God instructed the nation of Israel to cross over into the promised land, take 12 stones, and place them on the riverbank as a memorial, a visible reminder to the next generation of the greatness of Jehovah God. In the future, when your children see this memorial and they ask why it's there, you must remind them that it's God who opened the waters of the Red Sea, that it's God who gave victory over the enemy, and that it's God alone who preserves, blesses, and defends. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, urging you on this Memorial Day, while remembering the sacrifice of earthly heroes, remember even more our awesome and great God, to whom all glory and honor are due.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On May 18, 1920, in a small town in Poland, Karol Wojtyla was born. He became a chemical worker during World War II, risked punishment from the communists by becoming a priest, and in 1978 became Pope John Paul II. Speaking seven languages and traveling more than any other pontiff, he survived an assassination attempt in 1981 by a Turkish national. Greeted by Bill Clinton as he arrived in Denver, Pope John Paul said, "In spite of the divisions among Christians, all those justified by faith through baptism are incorporated into Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. I mentioned before we went into the break that I wanted to just highlight something relative to Al Sharpton's daughter. I really don't want to spend time on this, Sam and Dave, but I'm going somewhere with it. And, of course, we know that Al Sharpton is a Baptist minister. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. He's a Baptist minister in the American Baptist Association that, of course, has its headquarters in that round building, I believe it is, there in Valley Forge. And I never knew that, actually, until today. But I did find that out. But, you know, I've always felt as though Al Sharpton is a hypocrite. I think that some of the things that he does out there really stirs up racism in America. I don't think he helps bringing together the races at all in this nation. And it just came out over the weekend that his daughter is filing suit against New York City for $5 million because she fell and injured her ankle. And at the same time, she or somebody has posted pictures with her mountain hiking in the mountains. And I think that, you know, there you've probably got, once again, a situation where the nut didn't fall far from the tree, in that she is living a, at least portraying a hypocritical act here. And, Sam, I'm wondering what you think about that. You know, isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that we're living in a day and age where leaders just live a double standard? And that's where I'm going with this. Al Sharpton, as far as I'm concerned, is a crook. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you know, this whole idea of his daughter falling wasn't done as a plan. I mean, that may be far-fetched, but the fact that she's suing New York City for $5 million for the fact that she fell in and of herself, you know, something does not smell good here in this situation, Sam.
Gary, it oftentimes does not smell good. And I'll tell you, there's, you know, is it possible? Yes, it's very possible. Unfortunately, are individuals like Al Sharpton, which we all know well, and perhaps his daughter here, are they doing something that, unfortunately, in my opinion, has become a norm within our culture? The answer is yes. It's a part of getting something for nothing. It's a part of winning big at the cost of others, more or less. I mean, the whole litigious nature of our society for almost a generation has done more to harm economic development, just from that perspective. But I think it's even done more than that, in that it's, in biblical terms, it really becomes an exploitation of the people, failing to understand, or maybe understanding, that if, for instance, this case, suing the city of New York for something of this type, which is probably, at the end of the day, nothing had they had no responsibility in, the attempt to try and do so, either to bring attention to oneself, which if that's the case, that is wrong biblically or ethically, but if it's more than that, to try to get rich at the expense of others, knowing that that money must come from the taxpayers, that is exploitation of the people. You know, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 20, there's a reference there to where God's going to judge Israel, and part of it was that the people were exploiting each other, and that there were others who were leaders of the people that were exploiting and stealing from the people. Well, how do you do that? Well, you steal from them. If you're in office and you raise taxes inappropriately, you can steal from the people. That happens all the time. But you can also steal from people by going to court and trying to get something for nothing that really was your own fault, perhaps. But this is what underlies this whole issue, Gary. It is a spiritual problem at its core. It is an opportunity to take and get something for nothing at the expense of others. It's theft at the heart of it, and God is not pleased under no circumstances.
And it reminds me of the significance of character and leadership. I mean, of course, when a person's a crook, that is their character. But Dave, you know, when it comes down to it, what we need in the United States of America is men and women in leadership who have good, solid, upright, biblical character. And until we get that, our nation itself is going to continue to suffer.
Well, Gary, it is. And I thought it was interesting the analogy you chose to use. You did not say the apple fell or did not fall far from the tree. You said the nut.
I did that on purpose.
Well, I was going to ask if that was a Freudian slip or did you do that purposefully? So I am proud of you. You did it purposefully. But yeah, can I say this? It's interesting to me. I think everything Sam said is dead on. It's spot on. But what's interesting to me is the amount of money for which she is suing, and it's $5 million. That is just a little bit more than Al Sharpton's current tax liability. So I think maybe what they're trying to do at the expense of the people is they're trying to pay off this enormous tax debt that Al Sharpton has incurred and do it masterfully in a crooked, perverse way at the expense of the American taxpayer, which is a real tragedy. And as Sam said, is the consummate example of thievery.
That's interesting. But really, Dave, I mean, would you expect that of Al Sharpton?
Yes, I would, Gary. I sure would. I'll be honest with you, Gary. He is a troublemaker. He literally is like Jesse Jackson. Apart from being able to take advantage of situations like Ferguson and Baltimore and even manufacture further situations like that. These two men have no reason to exist. The organizations over which they are the heads and the founders have no reason to be in existence either, apart from the ability to create the kind of unrest that we watched in Ferguson, Missouri, and then most recently in Baltimore, Maryland. So, yeah, Gary, these guys are, I'm just going to say it, they're the lowest of the low. They are men that are in it for themselves. They don't care about the African-American community. They're not interested in anything remotely close to the United States citizenry being unified around common principles. They just want to advance their own agenda. And they're opportunists of the highest order.
And there have – and there have
look at it.
And there have been situations where we find that some African Americans, when they were going through certain circumstances in their communities, do not want the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons to come to their rescue because they think that the only thing that they do is stir things up. And, you know.
Well, Gary, did you see all the African Americans in Baltimore that were business owners? And they were pleading, numbers of them pleading, please don't come here, mm-hmm. because they know their businesses are going to probably burn to the ground if Al Sharpton shows up. So, yeah, they don't want any part with these guys because they see them for what they are.
They do indeed. Sam, we're going to switch gears just a little bit to something that I think has more significance globally, as it were. And we talked a little bit about this the other day, but about how Pope Francis really – seemingly supports the Palestinian state. Well, not seemingly. It actually, that is his particular view. But recently we've learned that Pope Francis actually referred to the Palestinian President Abbas, if that's how you say it, I guess, referred to him as an angel of peace. Now here you have the Pope who leads, what, a billion Catholics, whatever it is, referring to somebody who's trying to destroy Israel as an angel of peace. You know, that contradicts scripture from cover to cover of the Bible.
Well, Gary, I think that is significant. And he did state that. And by so doing, he went there and he declared both Abbas and former Israeli President Shimon Peres as men of peace. We put both of them together. But it's interesting that by so doing at this time, with the significance of the leadership of Israel, he was ignoring purposely Benjamin Netanyahu. He did not include him as a man of peace. Matter of fact, he's trying to use, as recognized by many people, certain Western mentality of saying, let's take and try and promote a moderate Palestinian or a moderate Muslim, more or less, there, so that we don't have to talk directly to Hamas and some of the others and exalt them. But by so doing, they're intentionally, and the Pope's staffers are saying, intentionally did this kind of thing to also put pressure on the leadership of Israel, trying to force them to come to the table to agree to a separate Palestinian state. Well, Gary, this is exactly the type of thing that this president's been trying to do. They basically are saying, give up Israeli territory. This is a big, big problem. And so I think it's worth noting, I'm glad you brought this up here today, because people need to be aware of it. There's more to it than meets the eye. These men are not men of peace that he embraced. And certainly his intent is not to be strengthening the nation of Israel. His intent, as he has said, is to weaken the current nation of Israel and strengthen a separate Palestinian homeland, which has been the issue of debate for over a generation.
I wonder what Catholic theology is in reference to the nation of Israel. Do you know, Sam, generally speaking?
No, I really do not, Gary. I can't comment on that. And I know that there are many, many Catholic friends who I have who do not agree with what this Pope is doing in this case. So I can't answer that question, but I know what this is, and this is not the right direction relative to this what Scripture says.
Well, and as we recall, Shimon Peres, if I'm right here, you know, he was trying to give some land away to the Palestinians, and he came down with a stroke and was rendered inoperative. And personally, I believe that was an act of God upon him. That's my personal opinion. Well, we want to thank you folks for being with us. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after this break. So please don't go away. We've got some good things to talk with you about. Stay tuned.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. President Obama pulling back some controversial equipment from local police.
Under an executive order signed by the president, local police will be banned from using grenade launchers, high-caliber weapons, and armored vehicles that run on a track system instead of wheels. The federal government also is exploring ways to recall prohibited equipment already distributed.
Fox Radio's John Decker at the White House. Parts of downtown Waco, Texas on lockdown after a Sunday shootout between rival biker gangs killed 9 and wounded at least 18 others at a Twin Peaks restaurant. A statement released by the restaurant's corporate office.
It reads in part, I'm quoting here, our priority is to provide a safe and enjoyable environment for our customers and employees, and we consider the police our partners in doing so.
Fox's Casey Stegall in Waco. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely by my mom, Carla Diadesi. Then her mother quoted Abraham Lincoln, "Our government is of the people, by the people, for the people." Julia's mommy explained that this means we the people determine the kind of government we have by our vote. We are just as responsible as our leader for the decisions made in our country. Julia thought about wise President Lincoln. Her mother reminded Julia that some countries do not allow their people to vote. "When can I vote?" asked Julia. "You can vote when you're 18, replied her mom.
Vote, a public service message brought to you by the Freedom Station, WFYL, working for your liberty.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are honored over the fact that you are remaining with us today on this Stand in the Gap Today. Along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull. Now, I realize that not every radio station down the network plays Fox News as our flagship station does, WFYL in Philadelphia. But during the 12:30 news break, we heard it said that President Obama is banning local police departments from receiving certain military-style equipment from the federal government. And the White House announced that today, that Washington would no longer provide some military-style gear while putting stricter controls on other weapons and equipment distributed to the law enforcement across the nation. The interesting thing about this is, Sam and Dave, is that these details were released as President Obama prepares to travel to Camden, New Jersey today to meet with youth and law enforcement officers there. Camden, as I understand, is one of the country's most violent and poorest cities. And he announced this idea that he was going to put this ban on giving military-style equipment that would include things like grenade launchers, to bayonets, to certain armed vehicles. In addition to that, the list goes on and on and on. There will that material, those armaments, that equipment that will be given will come under tighter control by the government itself, including wheeled armored vehicles like Humvees, manned aircraft, drones, specialized firearms, explosives, battering rams, and all sorts of things along that line. And, you know, as I heard that over the weekend, or as I heard that actually, I guess it was this morning, and then heard Fox News talking about it here, Sam, my mind began to wonder why he is doing that. Because back in December, he did not mention a ban or announce the ban in December when he was talking about what the federal agencies have given to various local law enforcement departments. As a matter of fact, at that time, he defended the programs as providing to be useful in many cases, such as the response to the Boston Marathon bombing and so forth and so on. Why do you think, Brother Sam, in 4 or 5 months, he has changed his mind? I mean, is this something done just to appeal the people in Camden, New Jersey, or other cities like this, is one question. The second question, and I hope it's not answered in the positive, but I believe it could be, and that is, do you think, Sam, that taking away equipment from police like this actually encourages more military involvement locally? Now, remember, over the years, there has been discussion that President Obama would like to sort of build his own militia. I know this is a far-fetched question, but could this lead to that, Sam?
Gary, I think there are two things here. Why the change? Number one, if you look at the change, the stated change is, at least what's coming from the White House, is that they believe that the providing of a number of these large pieces of very clearly military-style weaponry for use by local police has helped to build the distrust between the communities and the local police.
Has it really done that? Has that in your mind?
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you this, my own saying, personally, I have not believed that this heavy equipment should have ever been given to local law enforcement, Gary, along the line. And I have raised the question in the past of why in the first place was so much of this heavy stuff given in the first place? Because the federal government, through a number of agencies, five agencies in particular, have spent over $18 billion in providing equipment. Now, think of this. What the president has done has said we're no longer going to do it. They're not pulling anything back. Well, what has been distributed? Well, there's been over 90,000 small arms. There's been about 45,000 night vision devices. That may not be a bad thing for local police to have, certainly, but over 5,000 Humvees, 617, they're saying, mine-resistant vehicles, so over 600 aircraft. Now, Gary, the point of the matter, what I'm saying here, is that there's a vast arsenal of equipment already distributed across the country. It's not going to come back. It's there. Now, has it perhaps in some areas maybe produced a cynicism, a lack of trust? I don't know if it has or it has not, but it has certainly clouded, in my opinion, somewhat the role, perhaps, of what local law enforcement is in fact equipped to do, should be doing, and all of that kind of thing. I will go further and answer the question by saying, I think what has created far greater mistrust between the local police and the community is not the equipment, regardless of what you'd say it's needed of this caliber or not. what has produced the cynicism and the distrust has been this administration and the Department of Justice, which has over and over again fueled these divisions and created the mistrust. I think this is just a made-for-media moment. Just to sound good and look good, like as a peacemaker going into the setting, perhaps in New Jersey, where at the end of the day, it's not at all about healing. It's still about creating division. So, Gary, there's a whole lot buried in this whole thing here that we're not even going to touch on right now. But those are some comments I have on this overall thing.
You know, it's interesting, Sam, that Fox News is reporting that the government, the federal government, is exploring ways to recall this equipment that's already been distributed. How in the world would they be able to? I mean, that's a task in and of itself, don't you think?
I think it's a problem if they're going to attempt to take back what they have already provided and they have already turned over. It's almost as if perhaps maybe they're finding in some areas the local police perhaps are not walking as lockstep with the administration and perhaps being a little bit too independent from the administration. And that's why they may want it back. I mean, I hate to put that forward, but I don't look straight up. I take what's there and then figure the opposite and figure probably pretty close to the truth.
Yeah, you're probably right on that. Dave Kistler, do you have any comments on that subject?
Well, Gary, I would say this. I think what the president has done by saying we're not going to allow you to have any more of this, even though what Sam has said is 100% accurate, all the equipment that has been there, already been given to the law enforcement community, unless they do try to retract it and draw it back in, it's there and it's going to stay there. So really what the president is doing by saying we're not going to give you any more is merely attempting to pacify the crowds, to do something that will make him look good. You know, I'm doing something about the militarization of the police, when in all actuality, it's not really going to do much at all because all this other equipment is out there and has been out there for some time. I will say this, though, Gary, and that this is a topic I know we have, you know, we've talked about, you know, not off air, we've talked about discussing it, and we will at some point in the future. But it brings up this whole issue of why is there this need to militarize the police? Is the administration, does the law enforcement community anticipate an event at some point in the future that's going to necessitate that law enforcement have this kind of overpowering military style weaponry? What is it they think they're going to have to stop? Now, I understand dealing with events like Ferguson and events certainly like Baltimore, but is there something else out there that's yet to unfold? Something maybe that's going to be created that they feel like they're going to have to stop? You know, all those questions are out there, and I'm sure we'll talk about it at a future date.
Well, those questions are indeed out there, and I think those questions need to be answered. But, you know, I want to go back, Sam, to a part of the questioning that I introduced this subject with, and that is in pulling this these armaments back and so forth and so on, whatever the president does or doesn't do there, do you think it's possible that our president, our administration, would like to do as much as possible to make local law enforcement weaker so that there may be the opportunity to create what would be referred to as stronger law enforcement from the federal government, even in leading us to the idea that, maybe he could set up a police state. I mean, is that far-fetched thinking?
Gary, it's not far-fetched, and we're not going to have time before this break to finish this completely, except that one thing we do know. This president has sought in every way to consolidate federal power by executive order, by violating constitutional rules, by a host of things, Gary, and by the fact that the military is now planning this Jade Helm thing, which is going to touch on out in the West and the East Coast, all this operation on the ground. All of this is to put a firmer face of the military on the ground, and that's a problem. So we'll leave it at that for right now.
Well, we need to get back to the idea that we are government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We need to talk about how we can do that and do it effectively in our nation today. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after this, so please don't go away.
We'll be right back.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. We're often asked questions that go like this. What's the best way to communicate with elected officials on issues or proposals that I care about? Is it a phone call? Do emails work? If I write a letter, should it be handwritten? Well, we're glad to hear those questions because it shows the questioners care enough to get involved. Well, what we have found to be most effective is face-to-face visits. And to do that with state lawmakers is not hard since they're in their district office at least 2 days a week. But if you can't make that happen, the rule of thumb is the more personal, the better. A phone call or letter that you write is good. Emails work too, but are best when delivered in quantity with lots of people writing. One thing that we know does not work, and that is staying silent. Sadly, too many people choose that option and then get the government they deserve. Find out more about the Pennsylvania Family Institute and how to take action at our website at pafamily.org.
A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774. A wise and frugal government which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's prime minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Never give in. Never give in.
Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat.
Never, never, never.
Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7? At 1180WFYL.com. If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
we were talking a little bit during the last segment on, or at least what we were talking about implied the significance of individuals in this nation getting involved in government, standing up and speaking out and so forth and so on. You know, the preamble of our Constitution, Sam, says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." I believe it was Abraham Lincoln during his Gettysburg Address that he said that we are a nation that's built up, that is, has a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I've often thought that his wording there actually comes from the preamble of our Constitution. But the question that I want to ask you, Brother Sam, is simply this. I think in many ways, the average citizen in the United States of America has given up his or her involvement and makes a distinction between themselves and the government. And really, in this nation, we are the government. The question I have for you is, what can we do to get the people of this nation to get back to the point of functioning as the government, yea, indeed, even as was stated forth in the Declaration of Independence, that really lays the foundation for the Constitution that we have today? Do you understand where I'm going with that, Sam? And if so, what are your comments on that?
Gary, I do. You know, it starts with information. It starts with education. For instance, we're not a democracy. We are a republic. There is a big difference. Many folks stand up and talk about a democracy. We're not. Well, what is a republic? And a republic is, in this case, and particularly a representative republic. Representative of what? Of who? Well, the people. Why do those who we elect, the judge, we talked at elections about the importance of elections at the beginning of the program. Why should we care about the judges or those who go to Washington or those who are in a state legislature or the local school board? Why should we be concerned about them? Well, because they represent or should represent those who put them there, which are the people. What kind of a government is it? We call it a republic, but what is it? It is self-government. A republic is a self-governed nation, which means we the people, are the government. It's collective, it's self-government by which we extend powers, rights given to the people, to those who go to Washington and go to our state legislature. We can't do anything to regain what we've lost, Gary, until we first spend enough time to understand what it is we had. And what I just said right there is simple, it's short, but it's very profound from the standpoint of helping us to understand. So it starts with understanding who and what we are, and that the powers here come natural rights from God residing in the people. And if we give it up by not voting, if we give it up by becoming cynical and backing out, if we give it up by not speaking, it will be taken from us as we are witnessing today.
You know, I that's a very good answer. And, you know, I made reference to the Declaration of Independence, which starts out Dave Kistler by saying this: when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Two questions I have for you, Brother Dave. Number one, is this idea of what Brother Sam was talking about, the fact that, you know, we need to educate our people on what a republic is and how the Constitution works, is that being taught in our school systems today? And then the follow-up question on that, do you think that the citizens of the United States of America will ever have the fortitude that the men who wrote the Declaration of Independence had when, as it were, making a statement against England. Do you think we'd ever come to that in the United States of America?
Well, Gary, number the first question is this. Is it being taught in our schools? The answer is no, it is not. The kind of thing that Sam is talking about, the kind of reeducation that absolutely must take place so that we understand what we were at the founding, what the motivations of our founders were, what drove this Declaration of Independence, what caused these men to be willing to hazard their lives, their fortunes, and as they said, their sacred honor to put their names on this document. The kind of information that is necessary to help us understand where we came from is not at all being taught by far and large in the school systems, the public school systems, the state-run school systems of this nation. So it means this, Gary, it means the education is going to have to take place coming from another source. And I would propose that that source must become the churches of God. Those that are declarers of God's truth, the pastors of those churches need to carve out some time, and a Sunday school format would be a great place to do that, and that is reteach the Constitution, reteach the history of this great land. There are a variety of sources and resources out there to draw on to enable the God-called pastor to do that. So the education is going to have to take place in the church. Otherwise, I don't believe it's going to take place. To answer your second question, Gary, will the American people ever rise up and protect what we have had and what we are very quickly losing? They will do so, Gary, only if God's men in the pulpit do what they did in the founding era. And that is, they straighten their spines, they clear their throats, and they thunder out God's truth from the Word of God and the truth of the founding of this nation. Apart from that, apart from being led by men in the pulpit, Gary, I dare say this, it will not happen.
And Sam, that's really one of the things that we do here at the American Pastors Network. We encourage pastors to do that, don't we?
We absolutely do, Gary, because we believe that at the end of the day, what we are witnessing, all these things we're talking about, centralization of power in judges that rule unjust, all those kind of things, these political-type problems we look at, we know that they are spiritual at their root. They go to the issue of truth, biblical principles, as then applied into civil government. That is, in fact, the role of the pastor in the pulpit, to teach this truth and apply it to the issues of the day. That certainly means all of these things of civil government, or the perspective of these things that we hear about in life, they all spring out of that. And if they are not taught from the pulpit, how in the world is anybody to know what to do? It must come from the pulpit, Gary and Dave.
Well, absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, here at the American Pastors Network, we do everything that we can to encourage pastors to educate themselves. We encourage Bible colleges and seminaries to educate their preacher boys on these particular subjects so that we can stand for truth and righteousness in this nation. We do want to thank you very much for being with us again today. The Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow for another edition of Stand in the Gap Today. Until then, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohrer, I'm Gary Dahl saying, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohrer, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.